Okay, my brothers and sisters, you're going to see a miracle. Hopefully, Our Lady will speak through a jackass. So let's go ahead and pray first that that miracle happens. So if you please join me in prayer, we'll kneel or stand, whatever's your preference. Can you hear me okay? Volume's good, everybody? In the back, you can hear me? North face, you got me a good thumbs up back there? All right, you're the man. All right, praise the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to take 20 seconds of silence to recollect ourselves. When we're recollected, that means that we have an awareness of the presence of God. So many of us received Holy Communion. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord is present everywhere. So we're just going to take 20 seconds to recall his presence because he's really the main actor this day. Lord Jesus, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. There's more than two or three here, Lord, and we ask you to walk amongst us. I ask you to give me the fire of the Sacred Heart that you had for your mother. Put that fire in my chest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Blessed Mother, I believe you are present here. I believe you are present everywhere. I believe you are present in the souls of those who are in the state of grace. Blessed Mother, help us to have a sense of your presence. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to see your eyes upon us. Your eyes are always watching us. Intercede for us with your spouse, the Holy Spirit, that our hearts might be set on fire. Intercede for us with your spouse, the Holy Spirit, that my heart might be set on fire, that I can say his words to glorify you. Blessed Mother, pray for us that we be protected against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. It is your charism to crush the head of the serpent. We ask for you to block him off, wrap us in your mantle, that we can become the Christians that God created us to be. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. 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 Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits that prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and to guard, to rule and to guide. And chaste heart of Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You may take a seat, my brothers. I'm so glad I don't have to say my sisters, my brothers and sisters, just my brothers. Thank the Lord. So this event has Lepanto as its theme. And I'm not going to talk too much about Lepanto. Lepanto was a great battle that happened in the 1500s, 450 years ago, last month. And it was a pivotal point in Christianity, a pivotal point in human history, where if it didn't go our way, they say, we don't know for a fact, but they say all of Western civilization would have been changed. We would not be saying, hey, we are at a men's conference. Now we're saying, hey, we are at a Muslim conference. That is not the speaker Gabriel. That is the speaker Muhammad. That is what they say would have happened. And thanks to a great pope, Pope Pius V, He established what's called the Holy League, and he said, I don't want a non-believer on any of the ships of the Holy League. Everybody on the ship must be in a state of grace. Everybody must receive Holy Communion. Everybody must pray the rosary fervently on the way out to battle. We'll have every church in Rome praying the Most Holy Rosary, because if we lose this, it's over. And we won. Miraculously, the winds changed. The Muslim ships began to crash into one another. The Christian armies fought valiantly. Only 8,000 Christians were harmed. 33,000 Muslims were harmed. 15,000 Christians were saved. But guess what, my brothers and sisters? It's pretty shameful that we have to celebrate a battle that happened over 450 years ago because we've done nothing but lose ever since. We do nothing but lose as Christians lately. We're losers because the battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the devil was using Islam to try to crush Christianity. And when Islam didn't work, he used something else. Hedonism, paganism, softness, instant gratification, pornography, lukewarm Christianity. We have lost the battle. Basically, there's still a little hope. In the words of Gandalf, taken from Archbishop, only a fool's hope remains. But that's good because we got fools in here. And I don't mean to be depressing, but I work with high school youth, and they're being indoctrinated at levels you would not comprehend. You wouldn't comprehend the things that I hear that they're learning about in school. Abortion is the way, the mindset of our public school system. Same-sex marriage is the norm that's being promoted and elevated. It's not natural marriage. One of the teens says, Mr. C, they call me Mr. C, what do I tell my friend? He says he's a furry. I said, what's a furry? He says he likes animals. He's attracted to animals. He wants to dress up as an animal in furry clothes. I said, wow, this is perverse. This is sick. And the reality is, if we were to walk amongst our peers, and we go to the mall, we go to the grocery store, and we look around, how many would be in the state of grace? Objectively, we're just looking at this objectively. When we go to Mass, how many people are in the state of grace? That's what our Lord cares about the most, souls. But I didn't come here to depress you. I came here to give you hope and to win. I'm tired of losing. We're going to win, and we're going to win so hard, the devil doesn't stand a chance. When we heard the verse, the gates of hell shall not prevail, it's not about us hunkering down and hiding behind the walls. That's not what it means. It means when we go forth, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And wherever we go, the gates of hell come down and we rescue souls and the devil is driven out. And we've complicated things way too much. I'm going to teach you how to win and to go from victory to victory, from win to win. Some might even say, if possible, you would get tired of winning. Impossible. We'll never get tired of winning. How can we win every battle? How can we win every battle? What I'm going to talk to you about in a few moments is going to sound like radicalism. You're going to think that's a step too far, Gabriel. And it is radical, but it's unadulterated, pure Christianity. I'm going to give you a couple of book titles, because what's going to happen, human nature, I'm very big into human nature. You're going to forget what I'm saying. You're going to hold on to it for a few moments. This talk is very important. I can't repeat this talk in your mind over and over again. So I have book titles for you. God willing, you'll watch the video and get those book titles again. The second talk I give, you will never forget. It will penetrate in your mind and in your soul every single day of your life, God willing. So you better be at the second talk. It's very important. It's at 2:00, I believe. So I want to encourage you to read. I'm going to give you a couple of book titles. You don't need to write them down. Your guardian angel is going to remind you of them. The first one's called The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus. Why? St. Alphonsus is the church's doctor of moral theology. Whatever St. Alphonsus says concerning salvation, concerning morals, it is fact. No denying it. So if St. Alphonsus says, Our Lady is omnipotent by grace, Who said that? St. Alphonsus. Therefore, it is true. What does that mean? Just while we're on it. That Our Lady's all powerful, not because of her nature, but because of the grace God gave her. Because Jesus Christ obeys his mother in all things. The will of God for Jesus Christ was the voice of his mother. Clean your room. This is the will of God for Jesus now. All powerful, she even tells God what to do, not to mention nature. So, St. Alphonsus, Doctor of Moral Theology, The Glories of Mary, check it out. The Secret of Mary. Oh, I love The Secret of Mary. I love St. Louis de Montfort. He writes skinny books. My favorite books are skinny. And not only that, they're very small and they're very few pages. And The Secret, and he likes secrets too. So there's two books from St. Louis de Montfort you need to get. The Secret of Mary, my favorite. Why? Because it's super tiny. The words are spaced out. The sentences are spaced out. The pages have all sorts of margin. It's really like 20 pages of an adult book. But it's 50 pages of miniature little man book like me. So The Secret of Mary, concise, pure. Oh, I love it. And I read it all the time. The Secret of the Rosary, St. Louis de Montfort. This man loves secrets, I'm telling you. Also, this is going to be a higher level theology. The Immaculate Conception and the Holy Spirit by Maximilian Kolbe. And finally, there's two books called Life of Union with Mary and The Marian Vow, because I'm going to teach you a mindset that you're not going to hear anywhere else except from the writings of Maximilian Kolbe and the doctors of the church. All right. Now you know where I'm coming from. How do you win? How do you win every battle? You become like Mary. You literally become Mary. You give her a body. You give her hands. You give her feet. You give her a will in which to live on this earth. There is one person and one person alone who has never failed, who will never fail, who always wins. And you know what she looks like? That. But the difficulty is our human minds are like that of the Pharisees. They want victory to be conquering. This is what victory looks like. She never loses, but her concept of victory and our concept of victory is a little bit different. Many of you men here are totally consecrated. You've done the 33-day consecration to Mary. Good. It's not enough. It's not enough. You've been given a watered-down consecration. What do you mean? I gave God my merits. Okay, so what? You think Mary's a good banker? You're going to hand over your money and she's going to invest it well. I gave God my family. Oh, very good. Our Lady's a good mother. She's going to take care of your family. What does Our Lady want? What does Our Lady need? In the words of Maximilian Kolbe, what will transubstantiate you into the Virgin Mary? She wants your will. She wants your will. The will is the most important thing in the Christian life. What separates you from an animal? Free will. She wants your will. The only thing that you have, the ability to make free choices. When you give her your will, it is no longer you who live, but the Virgin Mary who lives in you, who acts in you, who is working through you. St. Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church, says, Jesus has no hands and feet except for mine. St. Maximilian Kolbe says, Our Lady has no hands and feet except for mine. And when you give Our Lady hands and feet, what does she do with her feet? She crushes the head of serpents. Maximilian Kolbe says, our fixed idea in our mind should be the will of Mary, the will of Mary, the will of Mary. And I know this sounds heretical, but I'm going to enlighten you shortly. The will of Mary should be my only concern. I wake up in the morning, Mary, what is your will for me? You want to win. You die, let her live. She never fails. Our fixed idea, our drug. Maximilian Kolbe, he's a maniac. He's a maniac. John Paul II said that he's the prophet for the new millennium. He's got the answers for us. He said, Our Lady in our mind should be like a drug. A drug addict. Have you ever seen a drug addict? They'll do anything for their drug. They'll break into houses for their drug. Maybe some of you were drug addicts before. They'll sell their children for their drug. We should be fiending for Our Lady. Blessed Mother, where are you? Blessed Mother, I need you. Blessed Mother, always be with me. I'm always thinking of you. I don't even need my notes. Our Lady said, get rid of those notes. Just as a person who is possessed by a demon, we should be desiring to be possessed by the Virgin Mary. Wow, this is extraordinary. This is too much, Gabriel. This is not Christian. Wrong, my brothers and sisters. This is pure Christianity. God the Father has willed this. God the Father created a woman so perfect that he himself desired to be one with her. He created a person so perfect that the second person of the Holy Trinity said, give me her flesh, give me her blood, give me her will. Jesus did it first. Jesus did it first. He said, I want to suck on her breast. I want her to nourish me. I want her to tell me what to do. I want to hear her voice as the will of God for me. It sounds extreme. God is extreme. And this is the path he chose. There's walls in our mind that the devil has erected. Many of you aren't around a lot of Protestants, but the Protestant lie is in there. That's too far. How much can I love Mary? How much can I love Jesus? Don't go too far, Gabriel. I can assure you, the 5 minutes you think of Our Lady and the 10 minutes you think of Jesus is not going too far. You don't have to worry about loving Mary too much. It's impossible for you to love Mary too much. How much does God want her to be loved? Well, he sent the second person of the Holy Trinity to take on flesh, to love her with the heart of God, and Jesus did not love her too much. The second holiest person to ever live besides Mary is Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph's motto, first and foremost, was Totus Tuus Maria. I work for you. I serve you. I'll cook for you. I'll work for you. I'll labor for you. Did Joseph love her too much? Absolutely not. And did his love take away from the love of God? Absolutely not. My brothers and sisters, let Mary live in you. Why? Because that was Jesus's goal. He has her flesh. He has her blood. He obsessed over her will. And most importantly, this is scriptural. This is scriptural. The lie is, oh, it's not in the Bible. First of all, you know, we are not just scripture. We're scripture and tradition and magisterium. But it's in the Bible from the beginning till the end. We're losing a battle against whom? Against the devil. Why? Because we're not living God's plan for us. In the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, after man and woman sinned, God said to the serpent, I will put enmity, I will put a struggle between the woman and between you, between her offspring, very important, her offspring and yours. Well, who are this woman's offspring? I need to be looking for the offspring of the woman. John is one of the greatest gospel writers. Why? Because he's Marian. Marian people stand out. Out of all 12 apostles, they all abandoned Jesus. Peter walked on water for crying out loud. He abandoned the Lord. Even after Jesus said, you're going to abandon me. Even after he abandoned Jesus and then cried about it, he still wasn't at the cross. You loser, you bum. We're all bums. This is the reality. The only bum who made it was the bum who recognized that's my mother. And that's why he said, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. Not because he was proud, although maybe he was. For all of human history, they will know I am God's favorite. This is the benefit of writing my gospel last, losers. That's not why he did it. That's not why he did it. Maybe that's why I would do it. That's not why John would do it. That's not why John did it. John is giving us a model of whom to follow. At the cross, Jesus said to his mother, Mother, behold your son. And he said, and it's very precise, to the disciple whom he loved. That's me. That's you. He said, behold your mother. And from that moment forward, he took her into his home. And if you read very carefully what is said, very important. Very important what he says after that. You wouldn't notice it. And knowing that all things were now complete, knowing that everything was done, this is it. My mission is finally over. Almost in reverse. What happened in the beginning? Jesus came from his mother. Now he's That's what gave him flesh. That's what gave him life. That's who brought God into the world. And now I have somebody to replicate that. What is holiness? What is holiness? Holiness is union with God. That's holiness. To do the will of God, that is Christian perfection. Why did Jesus give us the Eucharist? Union with God. Why do I go to heaven? Union with God. That's my goal. And Jesus gave us the sacraments for union with God. And now Jesus gives us his mother, union with God. Maximilian Kolbe, my brother, my prophet. He said, Our Lady's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Her desire is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His desire is to be fruitful. What do you mean fruitful? The Father's fruitful. He begot the Son. The Son is fruitful. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is only fruitful in the womb of Mary. He brings forth Jesus Christ in the womb of Our Lady. When you give your life to Mary, when you say, Totus tuus Maria, like Jesus, Jesus made Our Lady a Christian factory where Christians come out of her once they give their life to her. It is the role of the Holy Spirit to make Christ in the womb of Our Lady. When you accept Mary as your mother and to have her as your mother, you got to do her will or you're not a good child. But the very first step is to accept her as your mother in your heart of hearts. There's no formula for it. You don't need to wait 33 days to do it. You can make an act of the will and say, Mary, I give you my life, because Jesus did it first and God has willed it. And the reality is your mother, you don't understand what that means. Okay, Mary is my mother. You don't get it. You don't get it. You don't get it. I gave this talk last night. Great talk. You don't get it. You don't understand. How much does Mary love you? She loves you so much that she would trade your life for her son's. She loves you with the same love of Jesus Christ because he died for you. Because the greatest gift in her life was Jesus Christ. God became man for you. God died for you. Her heart exists for you. If you have a mother that loves you, any good mother, many of us don't have good mothers, but biologically, if you just take the natural instinct of a mother to feed her children, when a mother first has her first baby, she's like looking at it. She's marveling at it. Where's the baby? I don't even want them to take the baby away from me at the hospital. Bring the baby back. The baby's got a nurse. That's one earthly mother. If you take the love of all the mothers who've ever lived from the beginning of time and you put that into one woman, that would not hold a candlestick to the love that the Virgin Mary has for you. Earlier, I said, Alphonsus Liguori, doctor of moral theology, says Our Lady is omnipotent by grace. He would also say she's omnipotent, but not only omnipotent by grace, she's present to you. She's present to you. Why? Because a neurotic mother with the love of a million mothers would never take her eyes off of you. And all you have to do is call upon her name. All you have to do is say, Mary. Acknowledge that she's present and she's with you in the heat of temptation. Mary, St. Alphonsus says, when he would go into the confessional and people would confess, Father, I'm so tempted by sin. I don't know if I sinned. I don't know if I lusted. He would say, did you call upon the name of Mary? Yes, I called on her name. Did you stop calling upon the name of Mary? No, I did not. Then you did not sin. Our Lady's name, the name of Mary, is synonymous with purity. It is synonymous with humility. The more you call upon her name, the more humble you become. The more you call upon her name, the more pure you become. And he says, if you stopped calling upon her name and you did the sin that you're worried about, and you know you did it because it was an act of the will, and you call upon her name and you're dead, you will not be dead much longer. You want to save souls, introduce Mary into their soul. The ones who go in line for confession, those are Marian souls. Because what is the role of a mother? To clean up a dirty child. What is the role of a mother? To feed hungry children, but not just with earthly food.
the food that lasts forever. St. Alphonsus, doctor of moral theology, said a lot of scary things. He said, he who does not pray is damned. He said, the gate is very narrow to enter the kingdom of God. Very scary things. If you were to read his writings, you'd say, I'm scared of Alphonsus. But you know what else St. Alphonsus said? No child of Mary is ever lost. Inconceivable that a child of the Virgin Mary would ever go to hell. Inconceivable, impossible. Doctor of moral theology. What he says goes, and it's true. Our Lady's also the mediatrix of all grace. So what is lesson number one that Our Lady's our mother? She's present. Have confidence in that presence. I'm going to give you two tips from this talk. Number one, confidence in the presence of Mary. What does she want? What is she telling you to do? She said it in your conscience. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. You hold back the power of God. When you doubt, you saw St. Peter, he was walking on water and he doubted and he sunk. Don't doubt. Trust your conscience when you've given it over to Our Lady. Trust, obey her in all things. She's present. Have confidence in that presence. Number two, do her will. Do her will. Number two, and second point you need to learn, or not just learn, open your chest to grasp. Let it hit here, not here, here. She's the mediatrix of all, capital A, capital L, all grace. This is not Gabriel talking. This is Thomas Aquinas. This is St. Bonaventure. This is St. Bernard. This is all the greatest doctors of the church. The Virgin Mary is the mediatrix of all grace. What does that even mean, bro? What is a grace? A grace is a gift from God for salvation. If you are healed because your leg is cancerous and you're healed, that is a grace. But that had nothing to do with my salvation. If God did it, it only had to do with your salvation. God only does things for your salvation. So you're praying to pay the rent. You better figure out a way that that's going to make you holier if you want it to happen quickly. Now, God is a good father, and he promised us that he will provide and make sure we have our daily bread. Any favor from God, any good thing that comes to your soul, any confessional grace, any Eucharistic grace, every grace is from God, but it flows from the hands of the Virgin Mary. St. Bernardine says, because Our Lady is not only the treasurer, she's the treasury, she's in charge of giving you God's grace. Our Lady gives what she wills, to whom she wills, as often as she wills, however she wills. She plays favorites to those who call upon her name. But more than just this, not just we're going to Our Lady because she's our bank. Reality is the present moment. If you're ever worried about the past, that's the devil, that's desolation. Stop worrying about the past. It doesn't exist. It exists only here in your imagination. So the devil will say, hey, you, remember that thing that happened to you as a child? Oh, that person, don't forgive them. And they'll pull things in our mind. That's your imagination. When you're worried about the future, oh, how am I going to pay the bills? I can't afford it. Hey, that doesn't exist. Doctor of the church, St. Teresa, Therese, a little flower, Teresa, Therese, you know her? Doctor of the church, the little way, she said, I do everything in my power to leave the past to God's mercy and leave the future to God's providence. I focus with every ounce of my will to God's action in the present moment. The grace that you receive, theologically, it's called actual grace, God only gives to you right here, right now. And he is constantly supplying you with grace right here, right now. It's flowing through your body. It's flowing through your mind. Our Lady knows exactly what's happening to you because she's the mediatrix of that grace. Now, what is the purpose of God's grace? His will. His will. If you don't do his will, that grace is going to be what condemns you. What did Jesus say? Some will say, Lord, Lord, and they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Those who did the will of the Father. Only the will matters. Even if you hate it. He says, if there are two servants, one says, I will do your will and then doesn't do it. And one says, I am not going to do it and does it. Who is the good servant? Who's the good child? The one who did the will of their father. Very important, my brothers and sisters. So what does this teach us that Mary's a mediatrix of all grace? She's watching you. She's watching you with intense affection, and she's giving you everything you need. Therefore, confidence, confidence, and what? Do her will. What did Maximilian Kolbe say? The will of the Immaculata should be our fixed ideal, should be our mantra, should be our drug, should be our obsession. And this is where it's all going to get tied together, because I know that there's still some things spinning that you don't believe in me. I can feel some of it in you. Our Lady is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. Maximilian Kolbe was working on this up until the moment before he went to Auschwitz. Everybody knows, oh, Maximilian Kolbe, the friar who died at Auschwitz. That's not why he's a saint. It's the fulfillment of everything else. And actually, that's a setup by the Virgin Mary. Maximilian Kolbe was obsessed with Our Lady. He was a pneumatologist. He studied the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? It's a third person of the Holy Trinity. How important is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is so important that Jesus died on the cross to give it to you. He's the sanctifier. He's the one who Christifies you. He's the one who supplies the miracles. He's the one who supplies all of it. He's kind of the one who does it all. The banker. He supplies all the money, so to speak, if you want to think of it mercantilian. Like, I think a lot about money, unfortunately. God help me. That's how I relate. Our Lady is his spouse. What does that mean? Maximilian Kolbe pondered this, racked his brain. He was obsessed with this thought. I am the Immaculate Conception. What does that mean? I am the Immaculate Conception. That's what Our Lady said to Bernadette at Lourdes. So he was racking his brain about this. Up until the moment that the Nazis came to pick him up to take him to Auschwitz, he put the period on the sentence when he figured it out. And Our Lady said, it's time to go, Max. You're done. Why? When the Nazis arrived, Maximilian Kolbe, the friar said, hey, the Nazis are here for you. And he put his pen down and he said, yes, Mary. Here I come, Mary. Everything for Maximilian Kolbe was the will of the Immaculata. And this is going to explain why. Maximilian Kolbe gave a conference in Rome, not like a men's conference, but to seminarians. And so he got chalkboard, got chalk. The seminarians were waiting with bated breath. What is he going to say? He's so famous. Everybody's flying to Maximilian Kolbe in Poland because he's making a city of the Immaculate. They've got so many friars. There's never been so many friars in one place because this man is so holy. And he's coming here to give us the secret of sanctity. He's going to explain to us the Virgin Mary. He's going to unload the greatest mysteries in our mind. Okay, you seminarians ready? Yes, Father Kolbe. Yes, please tell us. We're anxiously awaiting you. Okay, get my chalk. He goes to the chalkboard. I'm not going to write on Jesus or Mary. He gets to the chalkboard and he writes a very big V. I told the people last night a W, but really it was a V. A very big V, capital V. And then a plus sign, and then a lowercase v equals s. And he says, there it is, my friends. There it is, brothers. That's the secret to sanctity. That's the secret to the Virgin Mary. That's the secret to victory in the church. And they said, Father Kolbe, please explain. And he said, V is voluntas, capital V, voluntas, Latin. They were Latin seminarians. That's how they taught their theology. Voluntas, the will of God. This is a secret to everything. The will of God, capital V. The cross is a plus sign. What is that? It's not addition. It's sacrifice. You sacrifice your will for God's will, and the two become one, equals S, sanctitas, means holiness, union with God. How is Our Lady the spouse of the Holy Spirit? How is she, in the words of Maximilian Kolbe, wow, this is going to blow your mind. You're going to say, is he a heretic? He's not a heretic. He's a prophet for the new millennium. He said, Our Lady is the quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. What does that even mean? He means that Our Lady is almost like, quasi, almost like as if the Holy Spirit had flesh. Just as the second person of the Holy Trinity took on flesh, Our Lady is the quasi-incarnatus est. The quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. How? Because she's true spouse of the Holy Spirit. Why? When a man and a woman get married, they go to the altar and they give each other totus tuus. The priest, of course, you have to answer. If you come here faithfully, if you come here freely, are you opening your life? Why? What does that all mean? That means I give myself to you and you give yourself to me and the two become one. And then there's fruitfulness, fecundity. And that's why Our Lady is without sin because she gave herself over completely to the will of God. And the two wills are now one. That's why the Father chose Our Lady and designed her with God's grace to be the will, the voice of God the Father to Jesus. Our Lady is the voice of the Holy Spirit. When she speaks, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Maximilian Kolbe says, where the Holy Spirit finds Mary, he flies to that soul. Think about Pentecost. What is Pentecost? It's the birth of the church, the birth of the body of Christ. Where was the body of Christ given life? In the womb of Our Lady. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon Our Lady, and she gave birth to Christ the head, and she gives birth to the entire body of Christ. So at Pentecost, where did the church come from? From the womb of Our Lady. They're in the upper room with the apostles. Where does Peter get his power? From the Holy Spirit? Through the intercession of Our Lady. This is God's will for the church. This is God's will for you. Let's look at this equation again. W plus W, or V plus V, equals S. Our Lady's will and God's will are the same. You might have noticed, and any time people talk to me, they'll say, oh, this happened. I say, oh, all in Our Lady's providence. Oh, this happened. All according to the will of Our Lady. Why? Because their will is the same. But, big but, capital B, capital U, capital T, big but. God has willed that the will of his mother be sweeter, be faster, be more secure, be greater, because one of her charisms is to crush the head of the serpent, to protect you. So when you do the will of Our Lady, you are doing God's will better, safer, faster, sweeter. Now, let me tell you something else. Maximilian Kolbe says you will be transubstantiated into Mary if you do her will. You allow her to work in you. You say, Mary, what is your will? Her will is for you to go out and greet your neighbor. You're praying, Mary, what do you want from me? Go say hello to your neighbor. Now you're doing Our Lady's will. It is Our Lady who works through you. And you say, Gabriel, that's very nice. I don't understand. Let's go back to the chalkboard. If God's will and Mary's will are the same, let us put capital M plus lowercase m, my will. Union with the Immaculata. If I give myself totally to Mary and she gives herself totally to me, in a way, the two become one. And when I act, she acts through me. And when she acts, I act through her. And my family is her family. And my community is her community. And my problems are her problem. And she has no problems. So she clears them up real quick. If you are united to Our Lady, your purity goes up. If you are united to Our Lady, your humility goes up. Everything goes up. Your family goes up. It is victory. There is no losing in the Virgin Mary. All I have to do is die. You want to win, my friends. Let me teach you one more thing about Our Lady. She's the Ark of the New Covenant. It's very profound. We say that. We think, I get it. I read the Scott Hahn book. I get it. The Ark of the Old Testament was made of the purest gold. The Ark of the New Testament is immaculately clean. I get it, Gabriel. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not in light of Maximilian Kolbe. Oh, the Old Testament had the Ten Commandments, the Word of God in stone. I read the book. The New Testament, the New Ark, Our Lady, has the Word of God made flesh. The old one has the bread that came down from the sky. The new one has the bread of eternal life. I get it, Gabriel. No, you don't. In the Old Testament, the presence of God would overshadow the ark. And the Israelites, when they were faithful, would use the ark as a weapon. They would take the ark into battle. And when they were faithful, they would win. When they would go around cities of sin, Jericho represents a city of sin, a city of pagans, a city of pagan idols. The Old Testament tells us in the book of Psalms that the gods of the pagans are demons. What happened? They took the Ark of the Covenant around Jericho. The cities of sin, the walls came crashing down. And then my favorite analogy is when the Israelites were unfaithful and the Philistines stole the Ark. And they took the ark. This is a symbol of Our Lady. They took the ark into a pagan temple, to the temple of Dagon. And they shut the doors thinking, ah, ha, ha, we've got there. They're never going to come and find their ark in here. And they went in the next morning and the idol, the false god, was cracked and crashed to the ground, kicked over. Wow, it happened. I just imagine Our Lady going like this, knocking it over. And they said, never. This must have been an accident. The wind must have blown. Somebody must have snuck in here. Let's rebuild it. Let's guard the door. Let's close it real shut. They went in the next day, smashed even to more crumbs. Oh, this is not good. Oh, and then all of a sudden they became afflicted. Because when Our Lady wins, she wins big and she humiliates her enemies. The devil hates Mary because he humiliated her. She's a 13-year-old girl for crying out loud. Poor. Poor virgin girl beat Satan. All right, so when Our Lady wins in the Old Testament, she humiliates her enemies. The Philistines began to get sick with hemorrhoids. You know what hemorrhoids are, youngsters? You don't want hemorrhoids. It's very embarrassing. Your butthole hurts. Your veins become enlarged. Ay, no me gusta. They died of hemorrhoids. The veins in their butt exploded and guts were falling out of their butt. They were dying left and right from hemorrhoids. That's humiliation of the highest degree. That's the kind of winning the Virgin Mary wants to do. You got a family full of pagans? You bring in the Ark of the Covenant. What is the Ark of the Covenant? This is the plot twist. It's meant to be you. You are meant to be that Ark. And you don't even have to preach as long as you're doing the will of Our Lady, which is the will of the Holy Spirit. Where can you explain this? This is scripture. You're always saying scripture, okay? In the New Testament, when Our Lady made haste to the hill country of Galilee to visit her cousin Elizabeth, it says in scripture, from the moment your greeting reached my ears, Our Lady didn't preach. Our Lady didn't work any sort of sacramental on Elizabeth. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The voice of Our Lady is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the child in my womb leapt for joy, and John was sanctified in the womb because of the actions of Our Lady. When you give your will over to Our Lady, and she gives her will to you, and you obey it, the Holy Spirit will work through you, and the gates of hell will not prevail, no matter where you go, even and especially when you're on the cross. No child of Mary will ever be damned. Every child of Mary will end up on the cross. And that's victory, my brothers and sisters. It doesn't look like going and outnumbering people in the polls. It looks like winning on a big scale. Again, let me reiterate this to you. You need two things. Your fixed idea, your drug obsession, the will of Our Lady. The will of Our Lady. Blessed Mother, how do you know the will of Our Lady? It's very simple. Consultation with Mary. That's why I said you need to get the book Life of Union with Mary by Father Emile Noubert. It's one of the favorite authors of Maximilian Kolbe. Practical, very systematic. Step one, Mary, what is your will? By asking her, you know Our Lady. So if you say, Mary, what is your will? I want you to go buy lotto tickets. No, Our Lady would never say that. Also, she's a mediatrix of all grace. She's a spouse of the Holy Spirit. You invoke her, the Holy Spirit will stir in you. You will not be deceived by the devil. Because you're calling upon Our Lady, you follow your conscience. But again, what is your will? What is your will? What is your will? Now you know the will of Our Lady if it's having to do with your state in life, if it never breaks the Ten Commandments. But you also must be open to hearing the voice of the Blessed Mother, to hearing the voice of God, quasi incarnatus est, hearing the voice of God speak through her in your conscience. God speaks to all of us. Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1776, says the conscience is man's most secret core and his sanctuary. There, the prudent man hears the voice of God. And when you give your conscience over to the Virgin Mary, you're safe because the imprudent man can hear his own voice and say it's God. When you give your voice to the Virgin Mary, Mary, I consecrate everything to you. I only want you. She will protect you. She will protect you. Step number one, the will of Mary. It's only two steps in life. And that's the will of God. The will of God, the will of Mary, okay? Synonymous, but better, sweeter, holier, because it's God's will. He came to us through a woman to give us sweetness, to give us love. Number one, I am obsessed with the will of Mary. I'm obsessed with it. It's all I want. It's all I care about. Number two, confidence. We lack confidence. Confidence in what? In the presence of Our Lady. How is she present? She's your mother. She looks at you with the love of infinite mothers. She looks at you with the same eyes that she looks at her son, because you are a member of the body of Christ, and she doesn't want her son to die in vain by losing your soul. She's watching you. She's present to you because she's the mediatrix of all grace. She's at every moment attentive to every need that you have. She's going to give it to you. She's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She's the ark of the new covenant. She's the gate of heaven. She's Our Lady. She's everything. She's everything. A lot of times in conferences like this, people will say, we only need 12 apostles. Nonsense. We need one Mary. If one of you gives their life totally to Mary, this town will be changed and every person in your family will be changed. And you don't have to be extraordinary. You don't have to give talks. You just need to do it. Our Lady never gave any talks. She just cooperated with God's grace. He used that grace to spread the church to the ends of the earth. By you saying yes to Mary here, you are impacting people all over the world. Now I'm going to end with two quotes from my brother Maximilian. I'm sorry to say he was not able to be here today. Let me leave you these two quotes. Take them to heart as if they're the words of the Virgin Mary, as if the words of Maximilian Kolbe, as if they're the words of all the greatest doctors of the church. Union with the Immaculata, to be an instrument in her immaculate hands. Here is the secret which guarantees success. Let me repeat that to you. Union with the Immaculate, to be an instrument in her immaculate hands. Here is the secret which guarantees success. Even when it looks like you're losing, you're winning. Last quote. She alone must instruct us, each one of us, in every moment. Why? Because Jesus did it first. She must lead us, transform us into herself. We give ourselves to Mary because of Jesus, because we're one. We become like her to please Jesus, to bring Christ into the world. She must transform us into herself in such a wise that it is no longer we who live, but it is the Virgin Mary who lives in us. Just as Jesus lives in her and the Father and the Son. This is a key right here. Let us allow her to do with us and by means of us whatever she desires. And surely she will accomplish miracles of grace. And this is the clincher. This is how you know it's true, this last line. And we will become saints and great saints. And then he said, come follow me. Let us conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. You've given us everything. You've given us your very self. You've given us the Eucharist. You've given us confession. You've given us the lung, the air in our lungs, and the hair on our head, even if some of us have fewer hairs than others. We thank you, Lord, also for the gift of your mother, who brings you to us in every way. Blessed Mother, we surrender our lives. We give ourselves fully over to you, not just because we want to win, but because it is the plan of God. And through this Hail Mary, we surrender everything to you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Chaste heart of Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.